The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Molly Ringwald, of all people, has criticised The Breakfast Club. She has suggested that the movie has not aged well. Well, I guess there are elements of it we should acknowledge that probably haven't aged well. I mean, there's behaviour that some might describe as sexual assault. There is homophobia. There are other things in it. But we want to talk about other movies, maybe, that don't stand up well to the passage of time. And here with me to have that discussion, Ali Ryan, the founder of Goss.ie, and Jim Elliott, the comedian. You're both very welcome, folks. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So, Ali, what immediately jumps to your mind as a movie that hasn't aged well?
So many. Okay, the first one is more of like a genre, which is the kind of She's All That movie. Do you remember that back in like the early noughties?
Is that where she took her glasses off?
Yeah. Literally, these movies where if a young woman just takes her glasses off, the jock of the team will love you forever. You'll get to go to the prom. You'll be so cool. It's kind of a follow on from another movie that I think has not aged well either, which is Grease, which is this idea that all these young girls had to change what they looked like, change who they are to get the cool guy, who are all basically idiots when you watch it back now. Obviously in Grease, you know, the movie ends with her in the leather pants, the curly hair, the cigarette. You're like, wait a second, should maybe he not have changed to be just a good guy instead of her changing? So I look back at some of those genres, and especially growing up as a teenager, I would have watched those things being like, you just need to take your glasses off to fall in love. And all those movies were very focused on, you know, there'd be quotes in the movie being like, oh, you look kind of chubby today, you know, do the diet. All these things that we were kind of told back then was so fine, would never, ever pass now. And the kind of newer movies, you never really see the girl trying to like lose weight or change her hair or do that transformation anymore to try and get the guy. Like, the movies are quite different, but that was one of the genres. Another one is basically every Disney movie ever made until recently.
Really?
Yeah, no, I am an ultimate Disney fan. So like, I'm going to blame my mom for this one, right? I was only allowed to watch Disney movies, not able to watch like...
Smart policy.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch like the kind of... what was that one that everyone watched? The Power Rangers, right? But... because it was so violent. But she's traumatized me in a different way, because I just watch Disney movies where you're just waiting for Prince Charming all the time. Be the damsel in distress, you know, all the fairy tales.
Well, if some of those Disney princesses just took their glasses off, I mean, maybe Prince Charming would have turned up a bit sooner.
It's not just the glasses. There's always the slow motion shot of the hair coming down.
Oh, that's
true.
But
if you go back to, I'll go to one Disney movie in particular, right? Beauty and the Beast. When you think of the idea of that, it's basically the original Stockholm Syndrome. She's trapped and kidnapped by a monster. And then by the end, she's like, oh my God, you know what? He's not that bad. And then he transforms into this gorgeous guy and everyone's happy and the house is transformed. It's all these stories about just try hard enough and look gorgeous enough and the man will change for you. If you think about it deep down, what it means. So, and Sleeping Beauty, loads of people trying to kiss her while she's asleep. That's non-consensual kissing. Think about it now.
That is problematic.
Kind of creepy.
Whatever way you cut it. Jim, what about you? What movie sprung to your mind now when we asked you about this?
It sprung to mind. It's a favourite. But the movie Love Actually.
Oh, really?
Oh,
Love
too.
Actually. What about it?
Have you seen it recently?
No, I probably haven't seen it in years.
Okay, well, because it's an ensemble. Nobody's, if you haven't seen it, ensemble cast, maybe 8 different storylines in it, maybe 9. I would say 80% of those have romantic relationships that are inappropriate.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Everybody's trying to sleep with their boss. Yeah. Alan Rickman is going to have an affair with a woman who works for him. Can't do that. There's a girl who works for the prime minister, and they are crushing on each other. And then she gets fired after being assaulted by the president of the United States.
And she's fat shamed.
She's called chubby the entire movie.
We actually have a clip of that. Take a listen.
Don't ask me why, and for heaven's sake, don't read stuff into this. It's just a weird personality thing. But, you know Natalie, who works here?
The chubby girl?
Who would we call her chubby?
I think there's a pretty sizable ass there, yes, sir. Huge thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the Kim Kardashian era now, the sizable ass would be a positive.
That's how you talk about your coworker? Which girl is it? You mean one of your only personal assistants? No. The chubby one. That's how we identify her. That's her peer talking like that. There's two romantic relationships in the movie that are actually appropriate, and they're both played for laughs. There's the two people who are Martin Freeman and his partner who are the stand-ins during the pornographic movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's that kid Colin who goes to Milwaukee, and all the girls there are romanced by his English accent. That is all consensual and above board and a little bit polyamorous in the...
Three partners over there.
Yes, very progressive.
Well, four. The last one shows up in the last scene. But, I mean, that movie opens with Colin Firth's wife banging his brother. And then he goes off to Portugal, where he then tries it on with his housekeeper.
I'm sorry, how creepy is... He doesn't speak any English. Creepy is it that the best friend shows up to the house being like, shh, don't tell your new husband, but I'm in love with you, I've been stalking you, and here's video footage of your wedding that's only me zooming in on your face.
Super
and
creepy.
At home we're watching it being like, oh my God, this is so romantic.
And that's the thing. Why does that movie work? I'll tell you why. Two elements. One,
I'm scared to know the answer.
Fantastic soundtrack.
True.
And two, we all know that English people deep down are dangerous sexual people.
Predators.
Just kind of deviant over there.
Wow.
And so when you're watching it, you're like, ah, merry old England.
I didn't know what way that was going to go. There
you
go.
Some of those old school movies, this idea of like stalking women is really cute.
That's every
like Hitch is one of the movies I had on my list, right? This idea where you have to like lie and trick girls into falling in love. And everyone's like, oh, Will Smith is so good.
The whole point of every romantic comedy before about 2010 is no does not mean no.
Trick a
woman. No means try harder.
Forcefully follow
Absolutely.
Her around.
Yes.
Yeah.
But mildly threaten her.
Were these like... are these movies that you might describe as having been completely fine at the time, and it's only with the passage of time that they become problematic? Or should we not? Love Actually is not that old. I mean, should we not have at the time maybe looked at Love Actually and said, I'm not sure if this is okay.
I think we're all just way more conscious of what's right and what's wrong, and how important media and films and advertisements fall into that. As in what we watch growing up, it does matter. Like the whole male gaze thing. Mm-hmm. I studied that when I was in college. So I had to watch Charlie's Angels. And I was like, why is every shot up their ass? You know, now I get it.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think just these kind of turning points happen where you look at things and you're like, wait, is that right? Now, I am kind of an anti-woke person. I don't think everything should be changed. I don't think everything should be woke. Things should be funny. You should be able to have a laugh. But some of those storylines that me and you were talking about, they're all pretty derogatory towards women.
And I mean, I think I'm older than you in that I grew up watching some 80s screwball comedies in the States.
Oh, yeah?
Animal House.
Great movie.
I was born in 89.
Revenge of the Nerds. The nerds are the good guys. And there's a whole 10-minute bit about how they're the only people smart enough to get a camera into the girls' locker room. So this is, and here's the thing. I don't know about
that's what people like. If you are intelligent, this is what the intelligent people
exactly.
also should aspire to do.
The jocks were sitting around wondering, how can we possibly do this?
Now let's not just blame the boys, because never being kissed is also very troubling. Which is Drew Barrymore going back to school, pretending to be a teenager, falls in love with her teacher, and then he gets very annoyed when he finds out, oh, I actually am an adult. So that was a troubling storyline. But the idea of that is very odd. That she went back to school. She's like flirting with boys. She's going back with the intent to be kissed for the first time, and she's in her 20s. Do you know what I mean?
When you describe it, I mean,
you can't do those things now. And obviously at the time I don't think they were that troubling. It's only now we're like, wait
should they not have been, though?
That's not cool.
Especially, should they not have been?
Because when like Breakfast Club, I've never seen it, but I did kind of look into it before coming on. And when you read, I think it's when it's movies directed at teenagers, this is where the issue is. As adults we can watch these things and be like, oh well, that's a bit silly, or that's not right. As a teenager you can be kind of influenced by that, and then you let a boy talk to you like that, or you let a girl try to kiss you who's in their 20s, because you've seen it in a movie and you think it's cute, and it's been turned into a rom-com, which is why the Disney or the fairy tales are slightly troubling, because those
the
things
helpless
have
princess.
Like, even like, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You, that's based on the Taming of the Shrew, the Shakespeare play, and like that's a really troubling movie.
That's 25 years old, only a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and like in it, that poem, she's like, I hate how you do this and you do this and you do that and you're horrible to me, and then he's like, oh, do you know what, I do like
Waterloo.
You, and then it ends.
Sorry, this is random.
Yeah,
bear with me. Waterloo by ABBA was as old when 10 Things I Hate About You came out as that is now to us.
Oh my God.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's 50 years old.
These are great.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Whereas that movie doesn't feel old to me, and the ABBA song feels
but
like
again,
ancient history.
I remember watching that in that genre of those movies where
we're all aging as well.
Yeah, that reminds me. I need to buy myself a graveyard.
It's very close to that She's All That theme, though, where I grew up watching these things being like, bad guys are worth giving a try because they maybe might like you one day, and then that's fine, and then the movies end and it's happy ever after, and you're like, it's actually very troubling that women have to change, or they have to put up with bad behavior.
You have to earn the right to be treated as a human being.
Or wear contact lenses. You know, the glasses really were not a good thing.
And let your hair down.
Let the hair down. Slow motion. And wear a dress. Never wear pants.
Taming of the Shrew. Sorry, I keep saying the Taming of the Shrew because
it sounds so like 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, 10 Things I Hate About You. That is actually just about kind of not literally, but kind of figuratively, just like kind of beating the personality out of this woman until she is submissive, isn't it?
Well, that's what the original play was. So the guy needs to marry this girl so that somebody else can get with the younger girl, and he absolutely just destroys her to the point where after they get married and they go off to Italy, he'll only let her go home and see her family if she agrees to literally whatever he says. And when he says that, the example he gives is, if I point at the moon and say it's the sun, I want to hear you say, oh yeah, that's the sun shining bright. I got to put on some sunscreen or I'm going to get
burned. The original course of control before we knew it. Same with Pride and Prejudice. Like, I grew up watching that because my mom's such a Jane Austen fan and I love Jane Austen too, but like, Mr. Darcy,
he's a scumbag,
he's an asshole. Like, he's so grumpy and mean, and she's this amazing strong personality, and again, he kind of breaks her down.
Michael and Cork says Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is basically about mass kidnapping and forced marriage. 50 Shades of Grey is vile, but it's glorified by some women. Creepiest of creeps ever. Don't be such snowflakes is the advice from another listener. And John says, I sat down to watch The Life of Brian with my 16-year-old son the other day. I told him it was a comedy classic. Honestly, we both got about 2 laughs out of the whole movie. It has aged very badly.
See, okay. I love that film.
I think that's like, so that don't be such snowflakes.
I love Breakfast Club.
I want to disagree with that a little bit, because we're not being, it's not being snowflakey to point out that things have moved on. In fact, that should be the goal of any society. Like, I'm a comedian. I'm forever getting taxi drivers going, I couldn't do what you do. I'd be canceled immediately. Shut up. That's not the point. The point is that you live in a society. Things are supposed to progress. You watch a movie set in the 50s. You watch a movie set in the 80s. You're not supposed to say, ah, what a current and accurate portrayal of everything that's going on right now. If you're watching an old movie that you love, nobody's saying you don't have to love the movie. Watch the movie, but then go, gosh, you know, I suppose we've made some progress in some of these areas. And now that we're in a world where women have achieved total equality, I see no more reason to change.
Sorry, is it true that The Life of Brian was like banned as well? And you used to have to try and get pirate copies of it like years ago?
It was banned in Ireland, yeah.
I'm sorry, I love
for
that film.
The sexual content or for the anti-Jesus
blasphemous
stuff?
Blasphemous.
Yeah, very blasphemous.
Well, I think you should ban it again, actually.
Anytime I hear Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, I think.
Great song.
Ali Ryan, the founder of Goss.ie, Jim Elliott, comedian. Thanks a million, both of you for joining me. Jim, you know what I'm going to ask. Where are you playing next?
Oh man, I got 2 shows in Whelan's on Sunday night, and those are almost sold out. I'm super excited for that. But in May, I'm coming to Belfast, Galway, Portlaoise, Limerick. I'm a little bit worried in Dundalk. I'm a little bit worried about those tickets because I don't know enough people there. So hit me up, jimelliottcomedy.com, for all dates and tickets. Thank you, Keith.
You head along. I was at Jim's gig in Kilkenny a couple of weeks ago. It was absolutely brilliant. So do what he says. Jim, thank you. Ali, thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.